Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
That's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Sean Dezay from Triumph MMA. We've got big news out of Triumph. We'll talk about that in a minute. Joe is running Facebook and all the social media and anything else that we're going to mess up in stats and analytics and things like that. He will correct us.
It's a hard job.
It is a hard job. He's been working very hard this week with all of the crazy news. We will get to all of it, but we have to start, of course, with the blockbuster announcement, pseudo-blockbuster. I think a lot of us figured it out last night, but pseudo-blockbuster announcement. George St. Pierre has taken an immediate and unending leave of absence and has vacated the welterweight strap.
Yes, there is currently no welterweight champion in the UFC. None whatsoever.
That is brilliant on GSP's behalf.
Why? I mean, we'll hear from GSP and Dana here in a second, but okay. Why?
Well, because I'm looking at it the way Mayweather did it a few years back, you know? Retire. Whoever has the belt, come back, whoop his ass. Retire. Whoever has the belt next, come back, whoop his ass. Retire again. And that's how you make multi-million dollar deals,
though. That is how you make multi-million dollar deals.
I don't think that's what he's doing.
However, I would like you, because I know you didn't get to hear this. Joe and Ken and I were in here listening to this while you were out getting sauced.
Hey.
So we have done.
He's celebrating not having to watch
him. I thought what happens in this studio stays in this studio.
On the air, it stays on the studio.
Doesn't have to watch another man lay on a man for 30 minutes at a time. So he's
so
celebrating.
While you did not.
Thank you, Ken.
You did not get to listen to this stuff. This certainly doesn't sound like the brilliant mastermind trying to sign multi-million dollar deals. Here is George.
You've got to mislead everyone first.
Here is George talking about why he's leaving.
But right now, I don't want the people thinking about me. I know a lot of guys are going to be like, oh, I want to fight St. Pierre because he has a lot of pay-per-view buy, you know, and I want to make money, you know. I understand that. Everybody's in for the business. But I'm just tired of this right now. I need a break and get away from it. And if one day I decide to go back, when I feel like it, I will be stronger, I promise.
Dude, if that's not a recipe to a $10, $20 million fight, I don't know what is, man. Think about it.
You might be right, Sean, but I listened to the call, and I think if I had to use a word to describe George St. Pierre in this call, I would use the word fatigue.
Fatigued, and certainly... there's a moment here, not in this clip that I'm about to say, but when he talks about somebody asked him, well, if you come back, and everybody wanted to ask the if you come back question. The guy hasn't even been gone 4 minutes yet, and you want to know when he's coming back.
Like, right.
You know, how does that stuff lay out? And as Ken and I were listening to the press conference, you could almost hear George St. Pierre grinning, like, if I come back, sure. I think I'm done, guys.
Well, I got
myself a PS4 and an Xbox One, and I'll see you in about 10 to 15 years.
You either heard the grin or you could hear his sphincter just tighten up because he just didn't want to talk about that anymore. He doesn't want to deal with that pressure. I think the pressure has gotten to him. And I'm sure there's other things going on in his life, and we'll hear from Dana in a minute alluding to some of that. I think he just felt like he was in this pressure cooker at this point. He's had three fights that he's won, but a lot of people say he's taken the most damage in his career in these three fights.
Yeah.
He sounds like a guy that was just done with the pressure. He's got plenty of money, and he feels like he's done all he needs to do in MMA here, Eric.
And here's George talking about why he's going to walk away.
A lot of this thing is part of my personal life. I keep my personal life personal. And that's it. That's all, you know. And I need to do stuff, you know. And that's personal.
Didn't want to really say a whole lot there, did he, Eric?
So it sounds like it's pretty personal.
Yes. Well, and whatever that means, I think I kind of like the fact that you really don't know anything about this guy.
Respect the guy's privacy.
Yeah. You know? Well, and he's written a book. Still didn't really know much about the guy. I mean, you knew that he grew up and he did karate. You know,
right.
But like,
he might be French Canadian or something. Was it in French?
No. It was in English. But he's done a master. Whoever he got around him early on did a masterful job of going, look, this.
We are.
This is.
That's what they did. They came out with We Are.
I don't even know what that was.
That's cool, though.
You know, did a masterful job of getting around him and saying, look, if this is what's important to you, here is how you protect it. And he has done a very, very good job of making sure that you really have no idea what's going on with him on a personal level.
No, not at all. And in this situation, too, what's interesting is that when he was in the press conference, the more Eric and I listened to this thing, the more we could tell why he was doing what he's doing, because they wouldn't leave him alone. The question got asked over and over and over. And again, I get it. We're in the same realm there. We're in the sports media realm, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what is he doing? What's he really doing? We have the same kind of thought process you do there, Sean. No, but when are you coming back? No. We get it. You're retired. But when are you coming back? and again that happened, and you could kind of see why he just wants to do this. He just doesn't want people to think about him. He doesn't want the target on his back. He kind of alluded to that here.
You know what I think that's a lot of people have a hard time understanding is that the emotional and the mental preparedness, the things that you have to do to get ready for a fight, you know, the physical part, the fighters love that. It's actually an outlet. And I could imagine living in Montreal with the weather conditions up there. You need to release your endorphins and all that good stuff. So I can understand the physical part. He's going to keep training. Trust me.
Sure,
I know,
he is.
You know physically he's a machine. He's got to train. Otherwise, he really will go psycho. But emotionally and mentally, yeah, he needs to step away from the spotlight, and I totally get that. And it's just going to be a matter of time. I can't say when, you know, but I guarantee you a champion like him, you give him X amount of months or year and a half, whatever it could be, but when he does decide to come back, oh man, he's going to come back, and it's going to be mean, it's going to be strong, and it's going to, and you know, he won't have the title. He might get an immediate rematch, kind of like how Ali and Frazier, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't beat me. You weren't the real. You know how many people out there that GSP can say, "Did you beat me to really get that belt?" You know what I mean? I mean, he will never say it in those words.
No.
But you know, you understand what I'm getting at.
Is that a guarantee though that he's coming back? I think I heard that from you.
I think he will. Well, I think he will, because
it depends on how this goes, but I think you're 1,000% right. If you've watched any of the prime times, it's
there, man.
Well, it's there, but some of them have this kind of slant of you feel sorry for him, because even when you read his book Way of the Fight, his entire day is broken up into segments, and none of that can move. Like, you get up at blah, blah, blah.
He's
a robot. You eat the same meal.
Yeah, you eat your roasted chicken at this time.
Right. Well, and in this case, he eats like a tiny breakfast, then he does the first workout, then the whole team goes to actual breakfast, then they come back and do a lunch workout, then they sleep for 60 minutes, then they come back and do an afternoon workout, and then they go all eat together, and then they go do the night workout, and then he goes home and he throws all of his stuff in a washer, and then when he transfers it to the dryer, goes to bed, that's his life. And that is going to break you after 8 years, as it clearly sounds like it has.
I'm surprised he actually kept it this long, really, without losing it. You know what I mean? He kept it together this long. Awesome. He's a professional in and out of the cage, hands down.
Sure. And so, and for everything that we make fun of him, Sean, about laying and praying and all of that stuff, his fight IQ is better than anybody in that sport right now.
And how many times have we always seen a champion who's taken a beating and loses, and we all say, oh, man, he should have retired when he was blah, blah, blah. You know, the guy's doing it. He's doing it the right way. I think it's awesome.
But you guaranteed a comeback. So is he really doing it?
I think he will come back. Yeah, I'll put it out there.
Because
I was never at that level ever. You know what I mean? And I went through that transition where I finally retired. You know, my wife and I had a baby girl. Things are different now. I've got other things that I got to worry about. So I can officially say, I won't fight again. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone says, there's $100,000, I'll probably will fight. But that's just out of the blue.
Everybody has their price. Sure. But if that's going to happen, Sean, this is kind of how he lays it out.
I've been on top for so long, so everybody is looking at me and like I'm the target, you know. Right now, it's going to make me feel good that I fight each other, you know, so I'm out of the equation. And if one day I come back, I will be the one that will look up to the guy on top of the mountain and try to claim it. And I need this time off.
So he needs a time off. He obviously had the pressure, and we alluded to it earlier, of the target. But it's funny, after Sean says, I think he's coming back, and then I hear that clip, I hear it in a different way.
You do, but you're going to see this, and it happens with all of us in some way, shape, or form when you, let's say, go on vacation for 2 weeks. You know, when you get into that second week, most people they kind of get that itch. Like, okay, it's enough of not having stuff to do. I need something to do. And then when you come back on that first day, depending on what you do for a living, you have this burst of creativity because your mind is refreshed, your body's refreshed, you've been able to, you know, whatever.
Imagine being on the clock, on call, for 8 years.
Straight.
Straight.
Okay. I mean, save for the injury, but I mean, he was then rehabbing.
Yeah, but he had a rehab. But you're on call. You're on the clock for 8 years straight. He is going to take a pretty good vacation.
And he deserves it. And 100%. To me, Sean and Ken, if he doesn't come back, he doesn't come back. He doesn't need to come back.
But you know who I really feel bad for? The next guy that gets the champ, the belt.
Johnny Hendricks?
Whoever it is.
Oh, that's right. Sean is not aware of what Dana's plan is for.
Hold on. Before we get to the day, because I know Dana was in this press. Yeah. Whoever gets it, the label, for all you people out there that don't know what this term means, that person is going to be the paper champion.
I think it depends on who wins this fight. Do we want to go to what Dana said about this fight, Eric?
Sure. I mean, that's probably next.
What did Uncle Dana have to say?
Next to George walking away, this is the biggest news out of the whole thing. So here's Dana White's take on what's going to happen.
And I think this is the right move for George St. Pierre. I mean, you can hear by listening to him, he's got a lot of issues personally that he needs to deal with. And no doubt the right move. So what we're going to do is March 15th, Dallas, Texas, Johnny Hendricks will fight Robbie Lawler for the vacant welterweight title.
You like that fight, Sean.
Oh, dude.
Throwing
yes.
his hands up in yes. the studio here.
Yes, yes.
And Joe, right before we went on, said Glover and Jones are staying at the number one slot, right? Okay, yeah, so this will be the co-main, naming a new welterweight.
Awesome!
Would you call either of those guys the paper champion?
I'm sorry, yeah, I'm going to stick to what I'm saying. Because
even if Hendricks wins, I mean, given what
Hendricks never beat GSP.
Oh, now he did. You thought he did 2 weeks ago.
I never said that, bro. I never said that.
He did not. Dude,
no,
he
I know. You were the only one that disagreed. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wear a shirt that says, are you mad, bro?
So you think even Johnny Hendricks, if he's able to win after he dominated GSP
but
in
lost,
their fight.
But lost.
Dominated him, but lost.
But lost.
Dominated okay. him.
But lost.
But was the loser on the scorecards.
Right.
That's entirely true. I don't think a dominating win by Johnny Hendricks invalidates this belt or this championship or makes him a paper championship at all. You can only fight the guys in your division when you're in the division. If GSP had retired right after a convincing win over Johnny Hendricks, and Johnny Hendricks wins some type of tournament or a number one and number two contenders match, it's not a paper title. Look on Wikipedia right now. They're on top of this. There's no champion.
Dude,
there's nobody else to beat. Whoever wins the championship wins the championship.
When Ali got reinstated and he fought Smoking Joe Frazier, Frazier dropped him, broke his jaw, and then people said, yes, you are the champion. Now you are, even though he had the belt.
See, but you never saw in this situation either Smoking Joe or Ali dominate the other one before that fight happens.
No, but
way.
Ali was
and I think
the crown. He was the king. He was the man.
Sure, but here's the thing.
GSP is the man, dude.
GSP is the man, but here's what I would say to you.
If Johnny knocks out Lawler in 30 seconds, he's still the paper champion.
What if George yes. never comes back, though?
Then he's got to defend the belt one time, and then he'll be the champion. You got to defend the belt one time.
So using this logic, then, Henan Barão is the champion at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
At least he's consistent. We've said that on the show a lot.
Yeah, and we'll find out. Well, February 1st, baby.
But again,
right, we'll talk about that in a minute. But
it's on February 1st. I'll be there.
But in this situation, I don't think we've ever seen a situation. And again, this is a Johnny Hendricks win. Lawler, he's still a champion if he's able to win this fight. Johnny Hendricks, we saw, you admit, dominate the champion. So I don't think public perception is going to be the same way if you want to go back to that Ali Frazier way of thinking things.
Yeah.
I mean, who ended up beating Buster Douglas? Was it Evander Holyfield? Nobody thought he was a paper champion, even though Buster Douglas beat Tyson in a fluke, which we all know afterwards because Buster Douglas went home and ate everything, came back, lost that fight. I believe it was to Evander Holyfield. Tyson went to prison. Nobody said, Evander, you're the paper champ. Now, we all wanted to see him fight Mike Tyson at some point. We didn't know exactly how that was going to turn out and know it was going to be insane. We wanted to see it happen, but I don't think a lot of people said, you know, Evander, you're a paper champion. I think I have that timeline too.
But when Evander defended the belt more than 2-3 times, then it was like, okay, yeah, you're the champion. If Johnny goes and beats out Robbie Lawler and takes care of Damian Maia and takes care of like all these other top contenders, of course, you're the champ. But that first one, you're not, homie. GSP. And then let's say he cleans out the division like GSP did. And then 2 years later, GSP says, you know what? And guess what, guys? I'm back. I guarantee you everyone's going to put Johnny as the underdog. 100%.
After 2 years? No way.
He was already.
Vegas money on that.
Well, in Vegas, he was already the underdog.
And he'll be the underdog again.
In the rumored rematch that never happened.
Right?
So, I mean, yes. Yeah. I would not disagree with that.
Thank you.
After 2 years, I would. I think that
if he beats everybody, I think it gets more interesting. But I still think Vegas would think that GSP is going to come back and
the most athletic heavyweight in history. Is that who we're talking about?
Sorry, what we're doing.
Sorry.
I thought I told you you couldn't say that for the rest of the
year. I didn't say his name.
Okay,
I brought it up.
He's now the most athletic heavyweight in UFC history.
Got Sean in a good mood. There you go.
It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. We got a lot of other stuff to cover. We've got to go to Australia. We've got to talk UFC on Fox 9. We've got some exciting news coming out of Triumph MMA and a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show, brought to you by Gun Lake Casino, part of the Fight Fans Radio Network on iHeartRadio and iTunes. It's Way of the Warrior.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans, Sean Dizay from Triumph MMA. Joe is over handling all of the stats, social media, and anything else that you see digital. He is pretty much in charge of that universe. And we've got a lot to do. Show number 206. I bet you guys didn't know that. We've done 206 of these things.
We're counting?
We are counting.
Okay.
Nice.
I figured it was time to start counting.
I think you're the only one that's actually done 206 of these.
That might be true, but either way, there have been 206 of these. So here we go. want to start with a recap from last week. We talked about Shane Del Rosario and kind of how that was going last week. And there was this moment of hope when things kind of turned around. And they took him off life support, and it looked like he was going to have some brain activity. Well, Monday of this week, he lost that battle, and our thoughts go out to his family. You can get onto our Facebook page. His family is setting up a foundation. So if you were a fan of Shane, and you really should be, he's one of the good guys in MMA, you can donate and help out the family and all of that stuff. And that's available at Wow Show on Facebook. So the best of the family and our prayers this time, because that's a terrible thing to happen to a 30-year-old.
Tough time of the year, too.
Totally tough time of the year. Transition, though, to some exciting news, and then we'll get into talking about Australia and all of the insanity. You have some pretty exciting news, Sean Dizay.
Yes, actually, we do. For those of you that do know Kevin Lee, he's from Detroit, and he came to me as an amateur when he was 5-0. We went 10-0, we went pro, and we went up to Montreal. We did our debut. We kind of fought in Indiana, went back to Canada, but eventually the kid got to 7-0. And we did get an offer from Bellator first. Okay, this all happened on Tuesday, I believe. Yeah, Tuesday. We got an offer from Bellator.
All of this happened on Tuesday?
All this happened in 5 hours, man.
Wow, okay.
All right, so real quick.
This fascinates me.
You want to hear it?
You don't have to go real quick. I mean,
we've got 30 minutes.
Okay. All right. So I won't make a long story short. I'll make a long story long. All right, so
just make it interesting.
Yes. So we just got finished training, I believe, and I was driving with Kevin. I think he was helping me go switch out a new mattress or something. So we're in my truck. We're driving around. We get a call. Whoa, let me back this up. There's a guy who fought in the Bellator.
Did I tell you we only had 30 minutes?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, this part's quick. Okay, so there's a guy who fought in Bellator. He's a Russian fighter. I think his name is Tiger Sharanovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right there, Joe?
He'll look it up.
Tiger Sharanovsky, right? So he lost to Will Brooks. And I think they lost in the finals, and Will got the $100,000 whatever. So Tiger goes back to Russia, and I guess Bellator says, yeah, when you're in Russia, you can get another fight. We just have to approve it. So we got a call. Hey, Kevin, would you like to fight Tiger? And I was like, yeah. The purse was decent. It was December 21st. We're going to fly out to Russia. And I'm like, sweet, let's do this.
That'd be fun, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Dude, let's go to Russia.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Let's do this thing, right? And then I told Kevin, I said, I don't think this guy will take the fight. And he's like, why? He's 25-2. I was like, it doesn't matter. He lost to Will Brooks, and your wrestling's much better than Will's. So I don't think this is going to happen. And, we were right, and Tiger declined the fight. And what that did, that caused a little ripple effect where Sam Kaplan, who's the matchmaker for Bellator, said, hey, Kevin, whatever happened, I thought you wanted to join Bellator and you were interested in this and that. So, Kevin's like, hey, Sean, the matchmaker's, saying something to me. I said, well, let me look at it. Let's talk about it. I sent it over to our manager, and he gave us I'm going to tell you straight up. Bellator's deal was a good deal. We were literally like, wow, that is not a – his first fight was a nice deal.
Awesome. That's good.
It was a good deal.
Yeah, it's good to hear.
We were scratching our heads, and, granted, I think, with the Bellator situation, we'd probably have more TV time. They would probably showcase more. They would have probably done a lot. They would have invested in Kevin. I'm not saying that UFC wasn't, but I'm just saying at the time we were like, wow, they're doing
right. You got a good deal on the
table,
dude. Yeah,
it's safe to say Bellator is the solid number two promotion in the world.
Absolutely.
So that was around 2 o'clock. And I called our manager and I said, hey, yeah, you know, we really do like the deal. And he's like, all right. And he was like, well, what do you want to do, Sean? I said, well, talk to Joe Silva, man. Let me know what you think. And let's hear back from UFC before we make any decisions.
So at the point you've got the deal from Bellator.
We got the deal, yeah.
That's the impetus then to make sure that that's the best deal you can still get.
We had a text message from Bjorn, the CEO of Bellator, saying, I will make Kevin Lee a superstar that Zuffa cannot. And I was like, wow, all right, cool.
But at this point, you're covering your bases and you're calling the management and making sure that they're actually contacting UFC because at this point, you still know that Zuffa is the number one organization
in the
world. And that's the goal.
Zuffa is with the NFL, you know, dun, 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 dun,
right.
And you hear the music and it is what it is. So then 7:30 rolled around. We were in the gym train. Oh, wait, where was I? No, we were blizzarded and we were snow.
Sure, right.
So we were at home and my phone is just going off the hook, but I had it on silent because I was taking a little baby girl and all of a sudden I get to my phone. And it's like, call me ASAP now. Kevin's in the UFC, blah, 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 blah. And so I finally called the manager. I'm like, what's going on, man? And he was like, dude, this is the best deal I could ever land. And I'm like, what happened? Kevin, five-fight deal, February 1st. We're trying to lock down the opponent, but the contract is going through legal right now, and it will be in your email by tonight or first thing in the morning.
Wow.
Woke up the next day. There it was. Went over the numbers. It was like a 44-page, I don't know.
Right, yeah, I'm sure.
Bro,
yeah.
We just went to the back of that. we just went straight to the back. We signed it. We didn't even – people were like, oh, I like how you act like you read it. We still haven't read that contract. We don't care. We signed it. So
they forgot to make a copy, didn't even.
Right.
We
just signed that thing.
What did we tell you we're doing?
We took it off, man. And
so February 1st, who's he fighting?
He's fighting Al Iaquinta, who's the finalist against Mike Chiesa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's fighting him February 1st on the Super Bowl card.
Nice test.
Great. You know what?
He's been fighting at 155. Is he going to stay at 155?
It's still, yeah, okay. Still 155. Okay. And, you know, before all of this happened, even Bellator, I always told Kevin, I said, man, you know, if we ever get a shot at the UFC, I would like to see you fight Mac Danzik. I always thought that him and Mac would be a good fight.
Good fight, yeah.
But when this draw came up, this pick, I'm actually, you know, it's a little bit tougher, but I'm like, and I'm not, no disrespect.
I feel
to
like
Mac.
You're calling out Mac Danzig on the show today.
No,
which is fine.
But
he might not be in the UFC by the end of the weekend. So,
but
you know.
This fight, to me, I couldn't even pick a better opponent. You know what I mean? Because the reason why I say that is because the training partners I have for Kevin, I've got guys that are faster than Iaquinta. I've got guys that are, you know, a little bit bigger and that has better jiu-jitsu, even though he trains with Massera, no disrespect.
Sure.
But I feel really, really good. Like, I don't need to go and outsource other training partners and go over to Duke Rufus's or anything like that. I mean, I can get this kid, this victory, with just right here in Grand Rapids, guys. You know what I mean?
And that's awesome.
And that's great. And
so, February 1st.
February 1st, man. I will be in New Jersey, and I'll be grinning from ear to ear, honestly.
That's awesome.
So.
Those of you wondering, Kevin's not on the show because he's big-timing us now.
Yeah,
Now Kevin's told me he's been kind of hitting you up and playing this game.
No,
like,
this is, and real quickly, I'll tell the story. And then
he
we'll
is
get,
a character.
We'll get back to the UFC. He's been hitting me up for the last 2 weeks as this thing has kind of blossomed, asking when we were going to talk about him on the show. I'm like, bro, Sean mentions your name every single show.
Listen to the show, Kevin.
I don't know about all that. I mean, I really wish you guys would give me some love. And then he gets signed and he goes, are you going to show me some love yet on Facebook? I'm like, oh, great. You're a diva already? He's like, yep, already there.
But, you know, we have this joke among fighters. Whenever we meet people, like at a bar or whatever, and they're like, you do that UFC thing? Now he can actually say, yeah, I do UFC.
I do that actual UFC.
Yeah, I actually have a belt in UFC now.
All right. So UFC went to Australia this weekend, and it was an incredible main event. One that I think – I don't – at that weight division, I think would be hard to top.
Next fight of the year?
Right. Well, until this weekend, who knows?
Every other week we've had fight of the year this year. It was a great fight. But, man, can anybody finish a fight?
Yeah, I mean –
all he had to do was tag Silva, I feel like, in that last round, and he would have won the fight at some point.
But it looked like in the first two rounds that's what Silva was doing to Mark Hunt. I mean, this is a crazy fight. And even crazier, you know, if you didn't watch it, Mark Hunt and Bigfoot Silva go to a majority draw.
Which is two judges calling it a draw.
Two judges calling it a draw. One judge called it for Hunt, right?
I thought it was Silva.
No, it was
Hunt.
Okay. Called it for Hunt. So, normally, this would be the part of the show where we're throwing our hands up and screaming, but it seemed like the perfect fight to be a draw. Like, I think everyone walked away and went, okay, that's crazy. Then the next morning when you wake up and you follow Mark Hunt on Twitter and you see that he had a broken hand, a broken jaw, and a broken hip.
He thought his leg was broken, too, after the first round. And we saw those big kicks from Bigfoot.
Well, because Bigfoot's kick didn't hit the thigh. It actually went below the knee and hit the calf muscle. And that's damaging.
We know, and here on the show, we've always been big fans of Mark Hunt because he's just a fighter's fighter. But when you see him come out of a performance like that, you know why you should love a fighter like that. That's any other human being, and we say this a lot in this sport, but they're a different breed that walk into that octagon. Any other human being would have stopped.
They'd be dead.
Broken hand, perhaps, but broken hand, broken jaw, and your hip is whatever it did to his hip, you're not going to keep fighting. Most people would just be like, dude, it's all you. I'm taking off.
Even if that other human being was Bigfoot, they would have stopped too. Not just the injuries that Mark Hunt had, just being on the other side of that.
Yeah, for sure. And dude, Bigfoot certainly took his fair share of damage, but not to the level that Mark Hunt did.
But were you guys not impressed with Mark Hunt's like wall grappling and his transitioning and like his defend?
Yeah, I was. And
grappling
and
was smooth.
You know, we said this last week. Yeah. You've seen Mark grow a lot over the course of his resurgence in the USC. That moment that people were trying to push him to the title hunt, he couldn't get past JDS, so whatever. But he's gotten a lot better. And we talked last week who also has gotten a lot better. Bigfoot's gotten a lot better.
Dude.
That was a great fight for those two guys. Because while Mark said,
neither one of them is a champion, and look at what the heavyweights are doing. Dude.
Yeah, well,
awesome.
And I think had you asked us a week ago, if we thought these two were going to do 25 minutes, every single one of us would be like, there's no way these two.
I didn't think so.
To be fair, we're always wrong. We are always wrong.
But remember during that show, I was like, guys, what I love most is when you get two heavyweights that know what they're doing, but they're going for it at the end. They got their hands on their hips. And they're.
And you got everything you wanted.
Dude, I was like, yes. And I stopped scoring after round three. I was like, I don't care anymore. They're both winners.
For sure. I stopped. And what's fascinating, again, when you talk about a fighter's fighter, and Mark Hunt, he goes, I don't even want a rematch.
No.
It would not be nearly as great. No. This is his words. It would not be nearly as good, probably quicker with one of the two of us. And what would be solved by that? Let's just both go do our other thing. And if one of us has a belt and we've got to meet again, well, that makes a great story, but I don't need to see you again for any other
reason. Works for Mark Hunt, though, but Bigfoot's a guy who probably was trying to work his way back to a title shot and as much as they're both winners in that fight, he's not closer to a title shot now.
He is not, but I think at
but
this
he's
point,
gaining when, some momentum.
Yeah, when you walk away from this, who isn't going to be like, yeah, I'll watch that dude fight?
Yeah.
I get that, but I mean, I think a strong win over Mark Hunt, and he's a guy that they can plug right into a title shot, which they need to do right now because it doesn't look like situation with Cain Velasquez, anybody's even going to give him a challenge at this point.
So Cain had successful surgery on his shoulder, but he will be out till late 2014.
Which
opens the door for Sean's least favorite subject on the show, which is an interim heavyweight championship. But before we get to that, now we've got Brown and Barnett that's happening on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve weekend. Fabricio Werdum is going to get the winner of that, which leaves JDS out in the cold. So you still got JDS out there. Here's the horrible truth in all of this.
Right.
So you've got all this stuff happening, right? If they set up some sort of interim champion, the chances of it being JDS are very high. The problem with that is who in the hell wants to see JDS and Cain Velasquez for?
Well,
nobody.
Let's go back
to
what Sean said earlier in the show about a paper champion. If you want to talk about a guy that nobody's going to believe is the champion, it's going to be the guy that got laid out by Cain Velasquez last time. And that guy is obviously JDS, who may be the second best heavyweight in the division. So like you said, the chances are good. If we go to that interim belt route, that's what's going to happen. Do we have a specific timeline? Because I know Dana has said this before.
For an interim? I have not heard any sort of official.
I mean,
but
Dominic Cruz thing has just gotten out of hand, and this has really been the impetus for him not to want to go too long without a championship fight.
And I think Joe and I were talking all week via Facebook and posts that I think they'll get to the point where they'll have to do it because you can't have Cain out that long, you know? Because going that long in between bouts is bad for that division, especially when you don't get very often a Mark Hunt Bigfoot to make you forget that that wasn't a championship fight.
That was the best heavyweight fight of the year, I think we saw.
Yeah, it was. It was really good. I think would it be, this is just me thinking here. You got Werdum, who wants the winner of Brown and
to set this up, JDS wanted Werdum. Verdum's like, I'll hang out and whatever you want me to do. Silva and Joe Silva, that is, and Dana White want him to take the Verdum, that is, to take the winner of Travis Brown and Josh Barnett coming up in 2 weeks.
Which, right. I don't mind. If you're going to look at those three, because I'm not saying Junior Dos Santos deserves to be left out in the cold, so to speak, but I think if you're talking about a championship, you've got to make him work harder than maybe some of the other guys that aren't necessarily going to get that straight shot at the champion because he's injured, Sean.
And I think that if, and I'm just throwing this out there, if Overeem beats Frank Mir February 1st, if he does, then I think Overeem and JDS should fight.
That's a good fight.
And
I
then
like
the
fight.
Winners,
yeah,
of
but
that,
Mir's coming off that big win over John Jones.
I'm just saying if he does
in the bar in Russia,
yeah. So if Overeem does win, because remember when JDS, when Kane wasn't and JDS had the belt, and it was all when Overeem just smashed your boy, your athletic guy over there,
the most athletic heavyweight in UFC history,
he got smashed by him. Whether there was peas or not, but then I think Overeem and JDS should be the next match for those two. That would be a good one if he does beat Frank Mir. You got Verdum over here who's going to fight the winner. Then those winners will fight each other, and then there you go. You got yourself a good heavyweight bout, title fight.
I don't mind any of those lineups.
Sure, that's
and working
one.
Toward a possible internship belt. And I also like the fact that if you have all those fights set up, you can kind of move toward that belt, but still give your champ some time to then decide, okay, you know what? Because we work through all these fights. We're probably right in that timeline,
sure,
where if everything works out for Kane, he's back. So if he's back, you let him fight whoever the number one guy is. If he's not, you can move that right into a one versus two, a Johnny Hendricks versus Robbie Lawler fight.
If he's not, you call up Hennen Baran and go, how'd you do this for so long? Because I'm going to need some tips here. When we come back, UFC on Fox 9. That is this weekend. Big rematch between Benavidez and Demetrius Johnson. We'll talk about it next.
Way of the Warrior. Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay of Triumph MMA, Joe running Facebook, Twitter, and all of the analytics, whatever. He's running all that stuff. The scientific stuff, he does that.
All he does is tag us in posts.
And
I think that's all he does.
Tags us in photos, yeah. So speaking of which, we'll have our picks up on the Facebook page. You can find at Wow Show. Follow us on Twitter at Wow Show as we talk about UFC on Fox 9, the rematch of Demetrius Johnson and Joseph Benavidez when Johnson took the initial flyweight championship. Benavidez looking to avenge that loss and see if he can come out the champion at the end of that. Uriah Faber taking on Michael McDonald. Chad Mendez and Nick Lentz. Joe Lozon looks to get back on the winning streak against the only sub-500 tough member still on the roster right now in Mac Danzig, your boy that you're trying to set up some sort of feud between Kevin Lee.
No, I was not.
Wait, how many Team Alpha Male guys are on this card?
It's like UFC versus Brazil. It's three Team Alpha Male
is
guys
this,
versus
is
the
this
rest
their
of the
version of,
four,
a,
four of, them,
of a Christmas card with all the elves? What's going on here?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I mean, this will be cool, but I mean, are those little bells on the hats going to be legal in the cage? We're going to have to wait and see what Big John's
ruling
on that.
Didn't Tommy Tohol do something like this like a little while
back?
Did he? Yeah, I think
great
he did.
Minds think alike.
He had a bunch of little faces and elves hats, and they were like, me, I want to fight me.
God, how great would that be if they come in the cage and you just hear, jing, 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 jing.
Oh, God. It's no wonder no one from this card wanted to talk to us.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's true.
So you have no interest in
no,
this?
No, I
all,
certainly
or,
do. Like, I mean, I want to see how the bells play in, especially on heel hooks on the feet.
Okay.
Because you can get a good grip if you can get underneath that little jingle bell on the pointy shoe.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And just turn.
I'll be honest. That is a cool toe hold or heel hook for sure. But I'll be honest. If this wasn't free, I would not watch it, to be honest.
Called the jingle bell pop when you can get a hold of that little elf foot and just make it.
Is the show over? I feel like I just want to go home now. I'm excited about this stuff. You've got.
We can pour syrup all over spaghetti if you want.
Are these guys going to finish each other, Eric?
Well, that's interesting that you say. Joe sent us a whole bunch of stats about this, and this will not help you want to be excited about this, that Demetrius Johnson's average fight time of 19 minutes and 50 seconds is the longest in UFC history.
Is that one fight?
Wow.
That's all of them. Every fight is 19 minutes and 50 seconds.
George St. Pierre thinks that's a long
right,
time.
Like, can you finish somebody? I mean, I at least finished somebody for a long time before.
Wow.
Didn't Demetrius just put out something about like, yeah, I know I'm going to lose and it's okay if I lose or something like that? Hey, Joe, am I right here or not? Yeah, he said something like that. And eventually lose, and I'm like, whoa, dude, it sounds like you already lost, and you're just letting everyone know that if you do lose, I told you so is basically what you're telling us.
Or he's getting in somebody's head, somebody's tiny little head.
Nah, maybe he just maybe he just wants to stay home and play Xbox.
Right, he's sponsored by them, so now he doesn't want to fight anymore. Yeah. He's seen GSP leave that.
He's like, you know what, GSP, I got it. I'm sponsored by Xbox. You're not. So.
Look,
right.
I only
come over to my house and play.
I only joke about these guys because I'm not afraid of them. That's the only.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's clearly a joke,
dude,
too, right?
No, dude, I totally relate to that, man.
Wow,
I know how that feels, really.
Okay, co-main event is your.
You look at them like, really, dude? You, like from the knees down, I need to be worried, right? That's why they invented knee pads.
I think
because
Eric,
of you, dude.
Eric just turned off his microphone. He's
I
just
should
done.
Turn yours off. Is what I should do. Uriah Faber versus Michael McDonald. Uriah Faber never been defeated in a non-title MMA bout, so that makes a lot of pressure on him for this.
What did you say? That was a lot of no's in one sentence.
Uriah Faber never been defeated in a non-title bout. It's when it's serious. He can't pull it together.
Oh, he can't close. Okay, he's not a closer. Yeah.
Whoa. When he's wow, I'm defending Uriah Faber. Did you just say that he can't put it together? He's only lost to champions. I get it. There's a little bit of, you know, Kenny Florian big fight syndrome there, but still, that's a great record.
Wait, so now you're a fan?
I guess so. Like,
okay, all right. Fair
enough. He's the biggest guy on the card, I got to do something.
Not literally. Not physically.
The biggest guy on the card at all.
Are you sure?
Physically, yes. He's not the biggest guy on the
card.
So Uriah Faber.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm very glad that GSP saved the show this week because
this is all we would have had otherwise.
You guys clearly don't want to talk about this at all.
No, I it's going to be a fun card. I think I'm with Sean. If it weren't on Fox, I don't know if I would
but
go find
else,
it.
Like, let's get serious for a second. How else do they build these guys up? You both said, look, I would never pay for this stuff, and you've made a 1900 elf joke.
No,
which,
I don't.
Whatever. But
I've said that I've agreed with you on this. This is where they belong. This is as high as I
put
think
they
can go.
Put all the elves over there.
No, I think this is where you put them. I think if in this situation we would have had a dominant Demetrius was supposed to be a dominant champion. You know, he was supposed to be a guy that was always going to win. If he would have done that and kind of built himself up as a guy who's finishing or knocking other guys his size out, we might be able to see that move along into, I don't know, a pay-per-view realm, maybe a co-main event on a pay-per-view. But if these guys are just going to go in, and I know you hate when I say this, but I'm being serious. I'm not joking. If they essentially hop around for 25 minutes, okay, good. They've defended or they've won their championship and they were on free TV. That's kind of where they're going to be, don't you think, Eric? If that's how these fights end up being, which is what we've essentially seen entirely with this weight division.
I mean, I don't disagree with you necessarily. I mean, John Lanker is probably the only exception there since he has the most knockouts in that weight division, but every other fight he doesn't make weight, so it's kind of hard to put him in that category. But for me, I like these fights because they spotlight the entire sport. If you wanted somebody to see what the textbook definition of MMA is, I would make you watch Demetrius Johnson and John Dodson, you know, where you get to see wrestling, you get to see dynamic striking, and you get to see jiu-jitsu for 25 straight minutes.
I don't think it's definition, though. If nobody can finish a fight with a blow, I think it's part of the definition of MMA.
If you want to see what this sport is about, it's about putting all of those things together. Yeah, it would certainly be nice to get a finish, but I think the lower weight, obviously, and the speed, you combine those two, it makes it very hard for that to happen. You know, and even in boxing, you see more often than not, these go all 12 rounds and they go to decision, but they're brilliant strikers that people look up to because they're able to put these dynamic bouts on that are frenetic at a crazy pace that you can't even fathom. But again, because of the lower weight, Sean, and the speed in which they strike, you're not dealing with Mark Hunt and Bigfoot Silva. You're dealing with guys that are trying to look for a minute advantage, not a giant advantage.
And going back to your boxing, like 2 weeks ago, Adonis Stevenson and there's another Russian guy out there. They're knocking out their opponents at the 175 weight class, which is the light heavyweight. So at 175, that's welterweight for, you know, MMA. That's where you're starting to see, you know, 55ers got the knockout power. And I'm not saying people are not getting knocked out at 45, but when you do go really light, it's very hard to get those knockouts because the power is just absent.
Sure, and I think if you went back and you looked, and I don't know, I don't have stats, and I won't make Joe do this very quickly, but if you go back and look at when 155 shows up in the UFC, you know, what percentage of guys are getting knocked out in the early days of 155. I mean, this is a weight class that isn't even a year old yet, or maybe a year and a half. So they haven't had a chance to figure out the science of how do I, and this is an extreme example, but we've seen it in the UFC, how do I walk around at 200 pounds, drop to 135 and put on a great performance and knock dudes out because I've been walking around 70 pounds heavier for the bulk of the year. They haven't quite got to that point yet. And when the science catches up, whatever that means to you, I think you'll see that. But it's a young, both 135 and 125 are super young weight classes, and they're just still feeling each other out. And the stakes are very high, as Ken pointed out. The only chance you get on TV is on Fox, and so you've got one chance to make an impression. And you're not
And at the same time, when you have a coach that says, hey, keep doing what you're doing, stay busy, and you'll win, that doesn't really create knockout performances.
No, but I think this is a good spot for, I mean, you mentioned it, this is the only chance on broadcast TV. This is a great spot to be in for these guys, but I don't think I make these guys the definition of MMA any more than I make that Mark Hunt fight, Bigfoot Silva fight, the definition of MMA. They're all great in their own regards. You obviously appreciate that in a big way. I like it. I don't like it as much as watching Mark Hunt and Bigfoot maybe even stumble around in the fifth round because I don't feel like these guys are going to knock each other out or even finish the fight. You want to go back to your 155 example. I still think we saw guys like BJ Penn and we saw guys like Jens Pulver knocking dudes out and submitting those guys. And maybe it's a science thing. Maybe it's a lighter weight thing. And maybe these guys are just – I mean, this is the other thing too. When 155 started – you had the UFC that was kind of poking around, and they got a couple of guys from gyms that they knew. Now what you're doing in these strawweight divisions, these bantamweight divisions, these lighterweight divisions that we've got, you've got some of the best in the world, and we've already identified them, so obviously the fights are going to be tougher. It just doesn't make for a memorable champion. A good championship fight, a good night of TV on Fox, sure. Does it make for a guy that says, you know, I need to see Demetrius Johnson fight again? I don't know if it does yet. And this is a good platform for them. I think this is their best spot, is to be on Fox television, be on broadcast television, and expose it. Because one of these times it's going to happen. Somebody's going to catch him, and it could be this weekend. Demetrius Johnson could land that big right hook that just knocks a guy out. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we're all talking about it. And that's what they're waiting for, and that's why they're putting him in these spots. But going in, I don't know. I don't know that's going to happen. I don't need to know that's going to happen to enjoy MMA, but I am saying that with these lighter weights, I'm starting to get a little bit, you know, I'm not going to look away, but I'm not going to necessarily make it a point to watch these every time live like I do with some of the other fights and the other divisions.
But with the Bigfoot fight, even going in that fifth round to the last 30 seconds, you're like, dude, if one of those punches get through.
And we don't have that, and a lot of us as fans don't have that feeling with these guys yet.
But on the main card, you're going to start out with Joe Lozon, who I think is going to sub Mack Danzig.
That'd be cool.
And you've got Chad Mendes, who I think can certainly knock out Nick Lentz. And then you go to Uriah Faber, who's probably going to get the elevator rear naked choke, which he really likes so much. He takes the back, stand on the guy, and subs him, given the fact that he's never lost. And yeah, up in the air, you have Johnson and Benavidez, who went to a decision the last time. And so are they going to knock each other out? I don't know. But much like Mark Hunt alluded to and we talked about in segment two, there's always that interesting X factor when you have fight number two. Look at JDS Kane 1 versus JDS Kane 2. They're two totally different fights. And for me, that's why I'm excited about this rematch. Do I think Johnson could lose? I don't know. I really don't. But I think it could be a very interesting fight. And he very well could finish somebody.
And you know, he heard a lot of the criticism. And I don't feel I'm really criticizing as much as some others have.
Well, and
heard it after that first fight. And Dana heard it too, because Dana came back and called people like me if I wanted to criticize it. Not a real MMA fan. Okay, you want to say that,
yeah,
but...
I don't agree with that. I think if you're a fan of the sport, you can be a fan of whatever you would like. Sean will understand this. I'm a guy who will watch black belt jiu-jitsu, which if you think Demetrius Johnson and Joseph Benavidez could be boring, black belt jiu-jitsu could be really boring
to you.
At
least somebody's going to finish, probably.
Maybe, or they'll win on an advantage. But the human chess aspect, I really appreciate about that sport being jiu-jitsu, as much as I really appreciate seeing two guys for 25 minutes spotlight everything that I enjoy about this fight, or this sport, I should say. That doesn't mean I think that your opinion is terrible. If you like heavyweights and you like knockouts, go for it. That's what the sport's for, and that's again why I love this sport so much, because there's something for everybody. These are the fights that I want to see the most, because I like seeing all of that stuff put together.
You know, in the beginning I was yeah, dude, this is everything. And I'm sure when I watch, I'm like, man, this is a display of A to Z for MMA. You know what I mean? Like, it shows everything. But for me, now it is starting to take a toll on me. I'm like, okay, please, guys. I kind of feel Ken's pain here.
It's not just a KO either, because a lot of people say that, and I know you didn't intentionally say it that way, but it's not just a KO. It's a finish. Yeah, Can you finish it?
And I'm like, okay, but I get it. I'm like, yeah, but I would like to, if it goes to a decision, excellent display of MMA, by all means, I'll still be happy. But that's after the aftermath. But going into it right now, I'm like, all right, I would like to see a finish as well.
Let me leave this with you before we take off for the week.
Cool.
And that is, think about this for next week or the week after or whenever as you're watching these things. Is it starting to take a toll on you because there's 54 events a year?
No.
Or is it because they're not finishing? Because I feel sometimes that the fact that there's UFC every 13 seconds is taking a toll on me.
No, the thing is, I like watching it. You know, because it's sporadic, it's fast, but I'm just like, I've seen this.
There is a fatigue, and you have to prioritize where it is in your mind.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, Eric, and I know we're about to jump off here. It's just remembering sometimes what these fights are and putting them in your head and getting through. And hell, half these things on the East Coast are always ending after midnight.
Right.
You know, I'm getting older.
We've seen it before.
Bed early.
When you see a submission, it's always different. When you see a knockout, it's always different. When you see a decision,
it's always a decision.
It's always a decision. Was that a good?
I like that.
Yes, right, cool. Totally. Fair enough. All right. We will cover everything on Twitter and Facebook. Search WOW Show. Two other news of note. Ken alluded to it very quickly. The UFC announced this week that the strawweight division is coming for the ladies. You will get the champion of that strawweight division at UFC or at Tough 20 at the end of that season. You will find out who the champion at strawweight for women
will be. Is that 115?
Yes, 115. Okay. And then Diego Sanchez just inked a new 8-fight deal, which seems like a lot of fights for Diego Sanchez, but whatever.
Whoa!
It's Way of the Warrior. It is brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos, available on the Fight Fans Radio Network and every single week on iHeartRadio. We'll catch you next week.